What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Chafua Meza podcast. I am your host, Lemmy G, and today we have a special guest. This is special to me because it's the first time on my platform having a politician. Whoa! Let's take a second and think about that. A politician? It's crazy to me because I had promised myself there's two things I'll never do. Is do politics and religion. And today I have a politician. Oh my God. Let's talk about that.
Whoa. For real.
This is crazy. But before we continue, let me introduce our guest today because this is a huge one, especially if you're Kenyan. You gotta know this one. And if you live in Minnesota and you don't know our guest, man, you need a whooping. But I don't want to say anything else. In the meantime, between time, I'm going to let my guest introduce herself. Please, you have the honors.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hello, everybody. Hello, Tim Lenny, whatever you are around the world, whether it is here in the U.S., whether it is in North Carolina or in Kenya. What's good? What's up? I am here. My name is Hulda Mumanyi Hiltzley, as he said. You know, it's an honor to be on this platform, especially that now I know that he has never had a politician. It's definitely an honor and I'm humbled. So I am the representative from the great state of Minnesota. I represent the amazing district, 38A. And being the first Kenyan born, you know, that's something, something,
let's put some respect behind that. Sure.
But truly honored to be here. So that's who I am. I am a Kenyan American, a proud Kenyan at that. Very proud of my roots. And finally, we made it.
Yes.
You know, it's been a minute.
Oh,
it's been
my God. Merry Christmas.
He's right, by the way. He's been trying to get at me for the last 6 months.
Yo, I'm not lying. I've been trying to holler at Honorable Hulda for a long time. I think since December, something like that. And for there was a time I almost thought of giving up. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not going to happen. Because come on, man. All these times, I'm even talking to you directly and I can't get to you. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Like, come on, man. But today is the D-Day, man. And guess what, man? It's a Sunday.
It is a Sunday.
I even got you on a Sunday.
Let me tell you, we started off as a Saturday, right?
Yes.
This event that I came to North Carolina for. And then as you were talking to me, trying to remind me how we've been talking and communicating the last couple of months, I was like, wait a second. I looked at my messages. I was like, yeah, it dates back literally since December. And so when you talked about, you know, you want to do this for a while and me not being able to because of my schedule or because of everything that I have on my plate, I told my team that I had to be here. It doesn't matter if it's, what time is it right now? It is 2 o'clock in the morning and I haven't slept yet.
Two in the morning.
I wanted to respect you and I definitely want to respect the craft, what you're doing out here. And so to honor that, I'm somebody who, if I say something, I want to do it, I want to do it. And especially for our young people, I'm very passionate about young people. So when you said, hey, we've been trying to do this, I'm like, all right, you up all night? Let's do it. So we're here. Hey. So we're going to get into it.
The studio is open 24-7, man.
24-7,
the studio is open. We're rolling. Man. Ain't nothing stopping this. Yes. Especially you, after 8 months or whatever the time, there's no way.
Look at here. I said, what time? He said, anytime. What time you coming? I was like, 2 o'clock in the morning after everything said and done. We're here.
We won't fall asleep on the couch, but we won't wait for you.
And I see your setup is tight. Your setup is fire. Your setup is lit. You know, like this is the real deal, y'all. Like if you step up in here, I feel like I'm in an actual studio, which it is, you know.
Yes.
So big ups. You know, you're doing some amazing stuff out here, and I'm ready to get at it.
Hey, thank you so much. Man. I feel so good. And if you can tell, you can feel my energy right now, man. I feel like it's morning time. I mean, it is morning time anyway, but it's nighttime to us. Because in Africa, if you have not slept, it's still nighttime. You have to sleep for the next day to come up.
We're still up.
Yes, we're still going. But, oh my God, man. First things first.
Yes.
Of course, you're Kenyan.
Yes.
You go see to the call, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Yo, Gali.
Yes, you know, the one that you go like this.
Yes, yes, yes.
Very proud.
You're the realest from there, from Ugali, the village.
Yes, yes,
to
yes,
the white man's.
I'm telling you.
Office. How does that make, how do you feel coming from the village? You know the village, the sugar cane, eh? Miwa.
Bananas.
Yes, bananas.
The leather matokes.
Sweet banana. Sweet. From that.
And then Mandegere. Do you even know? Wait, were you old enough to know Mandegere?
No, I was not.
Okay, that's fine. It's all good. It's all good.
It's different.
We'll stick with the
matokes. But we know matokes, yes. We know matokes. From that. From the Akamba, the Gusi Deluxe, the Kisi Express, all of that to
the
you,
Guardian.
Yes, to you, to being to remember the face me,
yes,
from that, from you walking around, I mean, Maze. Bare feet, dry, Maze, the hot
look,
sun.
Some people have come from a long way
to where you at right now with the white people. You sitting to the office telling them what to do.
Let's go.
How do you feel
I'm
about that?
I'm at the table.
Yes, you on
the
top.
Table.
Canyon in the building, man. Come on, man. You kidding me? We're in here.
We are in the building.
You cracked the door. Now we have to come in.
I hope you guys will bust that door wide open.
No, you see us now?
Look at here.
Yeah.
Look at here. Let me tell you. So it is by God's grace. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like this thing, I never sat here. You know, most of us don't come into this country dreaming to be politicians.
Facts.
Right? This is something that, you know, especially our parents' generation, when they came here, they wanted to do what? Put their head down.
Yes.
Go to school, go to work, go to church.
That's it.
Repeat.
Prisoner.
Right? I mean, you know, but look at us. We are here branching out, doing things that our parents never even dreamt about. Our ancestors, you can't tell me that my ancestors sat here and they were like, my great 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 grand granddaughter will be serving in a white man's land.
No way.
No That's, way. That, Even no my way. Ancestors. So when we sit here, we say, "I'm my ancestors' wildest imagination." My friend, there was no wildest imagination at I'll be here.
No way.
So it's by God's grace and realizing that in this country, we have to take what's ours.
Yes.
When I say we have to take what's ours, is because we also contribute. We work so hard for us not to get that piece of the pie back to our community. And so to sit here and say that I'm a part of making the decisions about how our government works, my friend, we have come a long way.
Man, tell me about it. First things, I bow my head. I stomp my feet for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You know, the idea, the fact that you sit here and you say Obama's name and my name in the same sentence. Hey.
You lead.
I think I've arrived.
Of course, you're here. I keep reminding you this over and over.
Thank
when
you,
I
sir.
First saw you, I saw the message online. The first Kenyan woman, congresswoman, married. I was like, I gotta have you in the podcast. Are you kidding me? We're here.
We are finally, 6 months later, we're here.
We're here.
It's never too late.
No, 6 months. But anyway, we're here though. We're here
though.
I was like, I gotta talk to you because in my mind, I'm like,
yes.
Okay, walk us through this journey, man, because I know this is,
I'm here.
Y'all better be lit like me,
y'all ready?
Man. Are you
y'all
kidding
ready?
Me? Shit. Like, yo.
I love it.
You know, most Africans, when they come over here, they do the dirty jobs. I'm saying you clean the bathroom. I'm saying you clean the dishes.
You're out here doing things that you shouldn't be doing because you don't know what power you have. And so somebody like you who is out here doing your own thing, living your life, you're doing something that you love. And you never know how far something like this, simple thing as you setting up and you talking about real stories, real experiences, real lived experiences that people go through, where that's going to take you. That is the American dream. I know that our parents had their American dream, and their American dream is not our American dream.
Facts.
Our American dream is completely different.
Completely.
You know, and it's taken us to places where they never even thought about, right?
Yeah.
When you told your mother, I want to set up a studio here, what did she say first time?
The first time she was like,
Unafanya nini?
Okay.
Right? When I told my dad that I wanted to run for office for our Mwanyagetenge, you know, our local nonprofit organization, community group, right? You know what he told me? He told me, wacha maneno mingi. That's too much. Do you really understand those people? Why do you even want to subject yourself into that space?
Yes.
But then I understood why I needed to be there. You know, so we sit here and our parents come to this country. Some of us are born here and they project their expectations on us, not realizing that we ourselves, we are going out here and we're experiencing a whole different lifestyle than they did.
Yes.
And we are being exposed to things that they weren't exposed to.
100%.
So we are coming out here, mapping our own way, one way or the other, and it's leading down paths that they couldn't have dreamt about. At first, they don't see it. But once things starts happening, that's when they're like, hey, look, now your mother is like, hey, that's my son. Have you listened to his podcast? Have you subscribed? Even now she knows what subscribed means. Right?
Exactly.
So now my dad is like, hey, that's my daughter. Do you know that I'm the father of Mweshimiwa? You know how Kenyan fans are, right?
Yes.
They'll be like, I'm like, dad, calm down. Exactly. You're the one who told me not to go down that path.
Exactly. Relax.
But again, that goes to show you that we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Now that our parents are starting to respect that, we actually know what we're talking about.
Facts.
You know, so it's been a journey, definitely.
For real. I like what you just mentioned right now, because sometimes our parents, they always look at us like, of course, with the kids, with the children, right? Mm-hmm. They feel like, I mean, technically it's a year, but they always feel like that their parents, they know better. So sometimes when you come with new ideas, they're like,
you're cute too.
No, because Mm-mm. we have never seen something like that before. Yes. And we're older, and with the parents, and we have the wisdom, whatever you're saying has to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the saying goes, you cannot teach an old dog a new trick. So it's to them, now. It's like,
we still love him, though.
Yeah, we still love them. The love never changes.
Oh, yeah.
But the disappointment is in it's like, yo.
Come on now, I can do that.
Yeah.
You have no idea what I've been doing out here.
You can make it happen.
And I always challenge our parents, you know, provide an environment where your kid literally feels comfortable to explore their talents. That makes a huge difference. Do you know why this country thrives? Is because of the opportunities for people to explore their creative minds.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And they don't stifle that innovation spirit. And so I always challenge our parents, when your kid is doing something that you don't understand, just be a part of it. Eventually, you'll understand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As long as they're not doing anything bad, they're not killing people, they're not stealing, I'm saying there's no crimes in here. Everything is good. Yeah, y'all better fall back, man. It's summertime now. You hear me?
Let's go.
It's summertime right now. So let's get back to you, man, because I'm still fascinated with your story. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to figure that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what happens. You know, I'm trying to picture yourself like, you know how you go to an award show and they call your name. It's like, oh my God, I won that? So how did you know you won? Like, okay, you married. You're a Congress lady. Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm in here now.
You know, a lot of people don't know that I ran for a Senate in 2022 and I lost, right? I lost by this much.
This much.
And
so they lose, it just land.
My friend, it was a loss. Let's just call it what it was. I didn't win.
Keep your 1,000, you know? Okay.
But it allowed me to learn the process. And so when I lost, I was depressed. I was depressed for a couple of months. I even took time. I went to Kenya. I went to, you know, I just took time off to, you know, just be with my family. And, you know, I told myself I'll never subject myself to that. Like, have you worked so hard for something? Literally poured everything, your whole mind, body, soul into something only for you to get so close.
And then you miss it.
And you miss it. Hey, that feeling. Yo. I told myself I will never do this again. I remember that night we had a watch party and I'm pulling up to the spot and my team is standing outside and just their demeanor, you could tell that this wasn't right. So my campaign manager walks up to me and she gives me a big hug and she tells me we didn't make it. Hey, Mazeb, I lost my legs. It was like somebody just came and just hit me in the chest, took my breath away.
Yes.
And I was like, I never want to feel that feeling,
And the whole family was right there
My whole family was right there. I told him, give me a second. I had to like literally just take a walk to bring myself back to reality. Yeah. Like, okay. Because I had a room full of supporters that I had to go and speak to.
That's the walk of shame.
I took my time, walked around the block, came back because I knew I had to go in there and thank these people for their sacrifice. You see a candidate, you think that, hey, that's the candidate, yay, they're the ones. But there are people who are backing that candidate who actually
are
the ones who are putting in work.
Yeah.
And so after I took some time out for myself and my family, it wasn't even taking time off. I found myself calling because they were in the middle of a budget year at the state of Minnesota. So I was calling all of my friends like, did you go to the Capitol? Did you talk to Senator so-and-so? Did you do this? Did you do that? And my husband, I was in Mombasa at that time because we had gone in just to relax. My husband was like, you're not done, are you? And I'm like, nope, we need to go back home. We need to go back to Minnesota because there's some work that I... And that's how I then gathered myself to say, okay, what does 2023, 2024 looks like? And so that's when I ran. And luckily enough, this time around, you know, I pulled up to the spot and there was already a celebration at the door. And that spoke volumes. And
of course, I was so happy. You know, I mean, of course, this is the first time me meeting you. But when I had the news, I was so happy for you. I feel like I'm part of your family too. I was like, yo, we made it.
Let me tell you. Okay, I was in college when Obama won, right? Yeah. I don't know where you were when Obama won. I was in college.
I wasn't. What was I at?
How old were you when Obama won? That's was back in 2008. That's a while back.
What was I? I think I was working that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in school, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was in school, yes.
You're working, baby. Just
that's the first time they were making all type of music. Like, oh, Obama is taking over. I was like, yeah.
Let me tell you, when Obama won, I was in this, like, I was in college, and I went to a private college. And so a lot of my black people, they were like, we're going to McAllister, we're going to here, to the other, you know, more diverse universities, because they knew it was going to be popping over there, right?
Yeah.
And so, but I was like, I got to study, I got to do this. When Obama won, I was like, hey, you white people, do you know that that's my cousin? Do you? I owned that man. So when I won, people are like, hey, that's my cousin. Oh, yeah, somebody told me that was your cousin. Of course, they're my cousin. I have no idea who that person is, but yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. Just amazing.
It's so fascinating. Because I'm trying to imagine even you in school. Because I don't know, if going to school, back to college, was this your dream? This what you went to school for?
No, absolutely not. You know, my dream in college, my parents' dream was for me to become a nurse. Going to the healthcare field because that's
welcome
all they
to Africa, uh-huh. African parents. Everything
Africa.
Is nursing.
Africa. Wait, if you're an African parent, listen to this.
Please.
Your kids can do more than nursing. If they're called into nursing, God bless them. But if not... There's other things
please,
out here that
say
can
that
actually
one more time.
Make money.
Tell them one more time.
Let me tell you.
Everybody's it's a nurse.
Everybody's a nurse. My mom was a nursing assistant for years. My dad's a nurse. And by the way, he had a degree in business. But because of this country and everything else, he couldn't get a job to support us while we were in Kenya. So he went back because, quote, nursing, you can always find work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But it's the lack of exposure
true.
Of our people. Yeah. It's a lack of exposure. So for me, when I was going to college, I went one semester of nursing. I was like, hey, that physiology and anatomy slapped me so hard. Back to reality, pa, 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 you don't belong here. I was like, okay, now I don't know what I'm going to do. But God had other plans for me. You know, I went in there and I had big dreams about working with World Health Organization. The UN.
Yeah.
So I went into college and I did international business, international relations, and sociology, right? That's
why
undergrad, you know, 333, let's
smart,
go.
Smart, smart.
Yes, I've eaten those books, mm-hmm. by the way. So thinking, right, I could work for those big world organizations. They didn't want me. I went to New York. I applied at the UN. I tried. Nothing. I even applied to the government here in the U.S., nothing. I even applied to CIA.
Was it this or?
Of course. You know, and then also the experience, right? Like for most of these places, if you don't know somebody who's connected or this doesn't look right, you know, if you don't have that connection, you don't get
what is this? It's something like Kenya. It's just how we move.
It's a different level, right? Okay. A different face. But I was like, all right, God, if you're not opening those doors, what am I supposed to be doing? But I grew up. My parents, you know, instilling in us the idea of giving back to your community, you know, leadership, what that looks like. And sometimes people equate leadership to just having titles, big titles, right?
Yeah.
You are a leader in your own right. Look at you. You're here leading your own podcast that now, you know, is picking up steam right? You're an influencer, you're a leader in your own right.
It's true.
And so I started, you know, exploring that and really just serving. And that allowed me to climb up the ladder in terms of my leadership roles. I got asked to do this, I got asked to do that. And then I ran for the president of Mwanyagitenge, one of the biggest Kenyan Kisii organizations in the whole entire U.S., right? Ooh. Based in Minnesota, okay. You know? And so that's where this whole idea of politics came up, because I realized that sustainability is not in, you know, our community at Changa Changa, not that, right? It's at the Capitol, where policies are being made that are impacting us directly. And our people have no idea.
Yes.
My friend.
Yes.
People have no idea. Because I would go there, try to talk to these representatives, senators, whatever, governor. We are here. We are different. Our culture is different. We are also contributing. This is the value that we are bringing. But we're not seeing anything coming back to our community. That's where now I started to learn, wait a second, this is what politics is. You hear politicians, all of this stuff, but ultimately, the power that is at that space is what impacts your day-to-day life.
That's true.
And we as a community, we have to do a better job of educating. This is why I think somebody like you, who has a platform, a very interesting platform, in the sense that you have a unique niche of listeners. These young Gen Zs who are growing up, who are defining a whole different type of lifestyle here in the U.S., who are defining a whole generation of Kenyans, Kenyan Americans,
yes,
who are now starting to realize that, hey, it's cool to acknowledge that I am Kenyan, I'm African.
Facts.
This is, you know, because back when I grew up, that's something that you're trying to run away from.
Oh my goodness.
You know?
Talk about
but
it.
But now,
what? Are you
now
kidding me?
We are repping. I'm seeing young people. Some of them I've never been to Kenya, but they're like, hey, I'm Kenyan. You see my bracelet.
Thank you. I was about to say the same thing.
Check it out.
Yeah, we got
if you
that.
Don't, if you're Kenyan, you don't have this, my friend. Check your life. Get your life.
Yes, you need a whooping as well.
But anyway, so going back into just seeing what my community was missing out on. I mean, we contribute millions and billions of dollars to the state of Minnesota, and we were not getting anything. And then people are making laws that impact us negatively. That's what pushed me to, okay, I have no idea what this space is, but I'm going to check it out. Mm-hmm. So the first time I ran, I had no idea what I was doing. We were learning, we were Googling, we were gadgeting up here. How do you become a candidate? But this time around, we knew exactly what we were doing.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, we succeeded. And so I'm excited to be in this space to show our people that this is possible, that we also belong, that the young generations like you, we need to start thinking about what is our role in this whole political space here in the U.S.
Yes.
Because we need to occupy those spaces.
True.
Because ain't nobody going to tell your story better than you can.
Facts.
Right? So why did you even create, you know, this table? Why did you create this space?
Look at the politician turning the tables
saying,
on
I'm
me,
just,
man.
I'm
Come
not even
on,
a politician.
Man.
I'm just trying to figure out why my young brother here, you know, created this space.
What's going on right now? I'm on the hot seat. Come on.
Let's go. It's my turn.
I was just chilling. Now look at me. I'm shrinking. Like, what's going on? Yeah, like, come on, man. But that's actually a very good question, and I appreciate you asking me that question.
Yeah.
I've actually answered that question a few times on my podcast, but mm-hmm. for some reason, people keep not seeing or understanding why I'm doing what
Listen
I'm doing.
Up.
Come
Tune
on,
in.
Guys. You guys, come on. Yes, I'm whooping or what? Anyway, this is the reason why. Okay, of course I grew up in America, right?
Yes.
Which is a good place. Everything is Gucci. I'm sure you see everything.
Yeah, so, check it out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you see how we're living. Everything is okay. We got water over here. Y'all got water?
Get yourself some water.
Let me get myself some water. Drink water. So now me and my team, which is it's my group that consists of my younger brother and my two cousins.
All right.
Actually, three cousins. Another one joined in. So we're friends / cousins / family / cool mm-hmm. people, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to make a trip to go to Kenya.
Mm.
Right?
Let's go.
Yes. And we call ourselves the Migos, by the way. Not the rappers, but we call ourselves the Migos. The Migos, shout out to you guys.
Migos, where you at?
They know what time
Tune
it
in.
Is right now.
Share this video.
They have to. They do it. They do it regardless.
Yes.
Shout out to you, Migos. Mm-hmm. So we went to Kenya, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me being in Kenya, and seeing the way people are struggling. Because you've seen little kids over in America about 3-4 years old. You see their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. A little kid already has a phone. I'm saying they got their own bedroom. They got a TV. They're watching. You know what I mean? They run to the kitchen. The bunch of food. The whole selection. Uh-huh. What do you want to eat? Options on deck.
Some of them are like, I don't like that one.
I don't want that, yeah.
Hey, try that with my parents when I was growing up.
Or sometimes they even taste something and they throw it in the trash. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want that
just
no
like
more.
That.
Yeah. And then I looked at that as opposed to ours. Mm-hmm. Our kids on the street begging for food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, are you
sleeping
kidding me?
Sleeping on the streets.
Yeah, sleeping mm-hmm. on the streets. I'm like, where's your parents? Their parents are struggling as well.
Yeah.
Homeless people. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, this cannot be real. Mm-hmm. This is what we see in the movies. This can be real. Mm-hmm. Check this out. This is real.
Real.
And I was like, okay, how can we make a difference?
Come on now.
And for me, in most cases, when you ask people this thing, they always go back to the politicians. Like, okay, what are the politicians doing? Who's the mayor? Who's the governor? Who's the president? These are the questions they ask. I'm like, okay, no. At this stage, what can I do?
Come on.
To help. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So instead of pointing fingers to other people, mm-hmm. I'm pointing the fingers to myself. I say, self. I say, what's up?
What you doing? Have a conversation with yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go on ahead.
What we want to do about this? It's like,
what we
I
doing?
Don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, yo, you know you Kenyan. Go get a bottle. Take some few shots. We mm-hmm. might figure that thing out.
Come on.
Yeah. So I'm sitting, I'm taking a few shots and I thought about it. I was like, yo, Chafua Meza. What is Chafua Meza? Make that a platform. Make that a podcast.
Huh.
What's the podcast about? It's going to be trying to help our people back home.
Wow.
You know what I mean? We're going to try us on us. Forget the government. Forget these other extra people.
Yes.
We call the politicians, the leaders, whatever you want to call these other people. Just us. Yes. Us as people.
As a people.
Yes. Help the people back home.
Let's go.
You know what I mean? And I don't just mean back home. Of course, you can help anywhere in the world. But as they say, you have to fix your backyard before you fix anybody else's backyard.
That's right,
that's why I say back home. So we have to go back to Kenya. Kenya, Canairo, we're here.
Canairo, so, that's a new name for Nai. So we've gone from Nai to Canairo?
Canairo,
let me learn something.
I was like, yes, let's help our people.
Yes.
And which is the best way to reach people at once? A lot of people, mass of people at once. Mm-hmm. Online. By which way? Mm-hmm. A platform.
Mm.
What kind of platform? A podcast.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. And that's how Chafua Meza was born.
I love it. You know how I mentioned earlier about this young Kenyan Americans who have grown up here. Some of them have been born here. They're finding their path. You literally just described it. Let me tell you, I grew up with Kenyan parents where we hated going to Kenya. Because when we go to Kenya with our parents, what were we doing? We're going to their friends, Ushago. And then they sit here and they chat our stories. They talk story. And we as kids, what are we doing? We're just in the corner sitting there.
Exactly. Nothing.
Doing absolutely nothing, just hating it, right?
Yes.
Like we could be here doing we have our little TV.
Yes.
We have a little game.
Yeah.
We have nothing there, right?
Exactly.
Like if we were lucky enough to go to a place where we had our cousins.
Yeah.
And even those cousins are looking at us like, who are you?
Exactly.
What are you doing here?
The connection is not there.
You know, it's not there, right?
Yeah.
And so the first time I went to Kenya and I actually loved it was when I went by myself. I went out there I was doing a project and I saw Kenya for what Kenya was on my own eyes, not my parents' eyes, right? And I had my own time to, you know, just explore Kenya. That's when I fell in love with Kenya. That's when I fell in love with its people. That's when I fell in love with like this culture that my parents have been pounding on me, right? Pounding, even the language, right? And so I sat here and I'm like, I think for me, it solidified what my parents have been trying to teach us. Because sometimes our parents can teach us, but if they're not doing it in a way that connects with us, we are completely disconnected.
Yes.
So you guys going there and you guys making that connection by yourselves, not because you're your parents.
No.
By yourselves.
Our choice.
That right there has propelled you to start something that is now going to give back in a manner that your parents couldn't have even imagined. Even you never know what this thing is going to end up doing, you know,
is very true.
And I'm
true.
Excited about it. Yeah, you never know.
It's very true. Because like I mentioned, look at you now. When I started this platform, I never thought I would have someone like you on my platform.
I mean, you vowed not to have politicians or religious people. Here I am. Shout out. So you politicians and religious people, don't worry. You'll be here one day.
You'll be here one day. So yeah, when I started the platform, my vision was never like this. The idea I have, I was going a different angle. And then, like you say, you just don't know what the platform takes you to.
You make it what it is.
Yes, it takes over. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And anyway, I'm we're here, man. I'm happy, man. The platform is rolling. So yeah, but back to you though, man.
Yes.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. I'm the second oldest. My brother actually flew to Kenya yesterday. So I have an older brother, Meshack, and then me, and then a younger brother, Pearlson, and then baby girl, my baby sister, Beulah, who is actually in the West Coast. He's around here somewhere. She's around here somewhere. So it's four of us. My little sister was born here, my parents really did a great job in making sure that we learned our language. So she knows Kiswahili, not Kiswahili, Kisi.
Kisi.
A lot of people are shocked that I know more Kisi than I know Swahili, but that's just how we grew up, right? So yeah, I have siblings. And then I think how Kenya call it... Nico people. I got my husband, I got my kids, and I got two babies. Shout out to Jada Ray and Jordan. My plan A of retirement. So y'all better, if you listen this 10 years from now, you guys are my plan A for retirement. But yes, my husband's name holding me down is Mr. Hiltzley himself, but he goes by AKA Ondieki. Mr. Ondieki.
Mr. Ondieki.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Kisi name. Woo!
He had to. I mean, my friend. Okay. My parents were like, Hilt. Okay, he needs a Kenya name. So he chose that one.
The name was a challenge a little bit.
Oh,
okay. So walk us a little bit. Yes. I'm trying to figure the first time you landed in Kenya back in December, and everybody was waiting for you at the airport because they know when Shimi was in the building from America.
Let me tell you.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you watch some of these things and you're like, hey, you have these dreams of what some of these things are. You watch celebrities and you're like, huh, I wonder about their lives. You watch these big people and you're like, hey. So I land, and in my head, the original game plan for Kenya, honestly, was as simple as me wanting to go to my grandmother's grave, honor her. The original plan was me and my sister, we go there literally for a couple of days, we honor grandmother, let her know that we've made it, you know?
Of course.
And then fly back and continue on with life. But unfortunately, or fortunately... this whole story became this national, like, just viral thing, right? Like, it spiraled out of control. Because as soon as the results were announced, we went to the watch party. It was official. I came home, and I'm like, finally I can sleep. Hey, let me tell you, I didn't sleep for the next 24 hours because it was interview. And then now it was, when are you coming home, right? Uh-huh. And in my head, I'm like, I just wanted to come home just quietly and then come back.
Yeah.
And so it became a thing. So by the time I got to Kenya, the ground was already just ready for me, right? And I didn't expect the magnitude of what had just happened until I got there. I mean, I was... when I tell you there's some stuff that some of us dream about, though, CODV, even how I was received, even when the plane touched the ground... You know how you get to Kenya and you get out and you line up in, if you're traveling with your Kenyan passport,
yes.
You line up in the at citizen line. When you are going with your U.S. passport, you go the foreign
of
line.
Course, the foreign line.
You stand
Karibu
there,
Kenya, yes.
Karibu Kenya. You're like, this customs.
Yeah.
They go through you. Have your X on your bag.
Oh,
they go through
that.
It.
Yeah.
They tell you, hey, that old whatever, give us this,
yes.
Give us some tea.
Yes.
All of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a part of that experience, right? But no, my friend. I was taken to what they call VVIP.
Ooh.
Hey, this is where now those politicians and those important people are walked in. There's a part of the airport, the most common Mwananchi don't even know exists.
I bet you.
You know? Yeah. So some guy walks in, they're like, welcome, Mheshimiwa. This is your whole entire team. This is blah, 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 blah. And then the chief whip of parliament, Osoro, Servanus Osoro, Honorable Servanus, is like, hey, this is welcome. So I'm over here like, have I arrived? Have I arrived? What is happening right now? You know?
Yes.
And they're like, we need all of your team's passport. Because I went in there deep. I went in there with 10 people. I was like, I'm not going by myself. Is this what it's going to be? Yeah. My whole entire family is coming, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, give us your passports. We're like, and I mean, we have still have to go through customs.
Yeah.
And the guy looked at me like, what customs? I am customs. So bring those passports. So they took him. Like, that VIP treatment that I got just opened my eyes to, hey, what the common Mwananchi goes through. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was ushered. I didn't have to worry about my bags. I apparently heard that people are like, those are Mheshimiwa's bags. Make him look nice. And then let's walk out now from the airport and go outside and see this massive crowd of people. And I'm sitting here going, they're not here for me. Surely they're not here for me.
Yeah.
This little girl from some village somewhere,
exactly.
They're over here celebrating me.
Exactly.
Banners, flowers, politicians, even Fred Machoka. Maybe.
Was there too?
Fred Machoka came, the blackest man in black Africa was there.
Yeah, you made it.
I've made it. Yeah, when that man shows up, you know you've made it. I need to get him on this podcast. Yeah, maybe real. That's what I need to. Fred Machoka, where are you at? You come need to come on this podcast. All right, shout out. It was insane. And from there on, that's when I understood that's when I slowly understood the magnitude of that moment, because I was only there for 8 days. In 8 days, I was accorded state security. let me just ask you this. Have you ever been on highway, I don't know, Nyayo Highway, whatever highway, right? And you see these politicians and their entourages, and they tell you move.
Move out the way.
Every time I go to Kenya, that thing has always pissed me off. I'm like, where I'm also going is also important, yes. Not because of you.
Yeah.
Tell me why we had 30 cars deep, and now they're the ones who are telling you, move. And people are yelling, who is this nonsense here? I'm in the back seat of this car going.
You're not complaining.
Not necessarily not complaining. I was embarrassed.
Okay.
I don't like showy stuff. Okay. That's just not who I am, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, I'm sitting here going, I didn't need all this.
Yeah.
I seriously did not need all this. And the fact that I was the reason for inconveniencing somebody who was trying to get somewhere, just so that they can step aside so me and 30 other cars can take me to a hotel. My brother, come on now.
It's not necessary, It's not necessary. We can just wait as well. Yeah.
We can also wait.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very surreal in a way, but also just reminded me that those of us who are in power, we have immense responsibility to behave accordingly. And so every opportunity I got to either serve myself, to eliminate somebody else thinking that they have to accommodate me, I try to do that. But obviously there's some things that I just couldn't do.
Yeah.
You know, for example, there's nothing that I could tell about security because they had to make sure that they go where I needed to go and make sure everything was okay and do all that. I get that. But also it reminded me of why I appreciate my privacy so much. When I got there, all of this attention was on me. Everything was like, what does Mheshimiwa want? I'm sitting here going, no, I just want to get up and go. I couldn't just go up and go. There was almost became a security incident where my husband thought that me, I can just go and get something from the store down the street from my hotel. You know, he just got up and left and security wasn't aware of it. We had to call security had to tell me, we have to go get your husband, because now people recognized, oh, that's Honorable's husband.
Yes.
And now they were coming to him. Not necessarily, but then again, you just never know.
Exactly.
You never know, right? So they had to go grab him or take him where he needed and then bring him back. So that reminded me of the privilege that I had before all of this happened. And I no longer have that.
Yeah.
You know, I no longer can. I can't just go to Kenya just like that.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, you know, it was surreal experiencing everything that I experienced. I mean, even in Jamhuri, you know, you sit here and you watch those parades, you watch, and then you look at atop there, the stadium where the box of the president and where he's sitting here. And I'm sitting literally three seats away from the president of the Gambia, and then our president and all of the dignitaries and the whole entire Kenyan government. I'm in front row. My friend, I was sitting there going, I've arrived.
Yo, that is, God.
And then getting, doing interviews with famous people like Lin Gugi, you know, and meeting all these people who wouldn't have even known who I was. Just because I want some seat in some state, you know. So, my friend, winning is good.
Winning, I am definitely not complaining. Winning is good. Because you hear that? That is a heck of a story. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Winning is good. It was good.
Yeah.
And then after you arrived and you received all this love and all these people showing you all these things, what was the first place you went to? Did you go straight and enjoy Nairobi City first? Or you was like, okay, I just want to go home and see my family back home?
I couldn't just go. Right. There was an itinerary that we had worked with the group on the ground, the state house and their team about, you know, my stay in the country. And so I had an agenda every day, you know. And so the next day after that, it was a news media day where I had news media from 7 o'clock in the morning all the way to 4 p.m. And then from there, I had a dinner with a couple of members of parliament. And then the day after that, it was Jamhuri Day. You know, so that was a whole day celebration where I went to the stadium. And then from there, you hear State House. Uh-huh. you pass by and you see the name, yeah. You know, State House. Yes. And there's long road that leads into the State House. My ancestors never dreamed that their grandchild will be a guest of the president. Come on now. Wow. You know, I go in there and there are six sections, tent one, tent two, and then in the middle, that's where the dancers, the performers do their thing. And then on the back side here, on this side is all the ambassadors from different countries who are stationed, you know, in Kenya. On this side is all of the members of parliament, elected officials. In the middle is now the president's seat, right? That's his table.
And that's in the State House, inside.
In the State House compound.
Wow. Oh, the compound,
and I was
okay. Ushered
to sit at the president's table.
Ooh.
Look at here. It's only God.
We are looking.
Right? Look harder.
Oh, my goodness. Where the glasses at?
Right. Those binoculars. We're looking. Yeah. So I was sitting there, and I had to pinch myself. Whether you like the president or not, he was the man who was sitting at that seat, right? Yeah. And so I was pinching myself thinking, how did I end up in this table?
Yes.
You know, and so that's why I always try to encourage young people, whatever you're doing right now, you're building your resume to what is to come, to some of those spaces that you can't even think that they exist. So whatever you're doing right now is the trajectory of what's to come.
Yes.
So I sat there and I'm asking myself, how in the world did I? And then I was reminded, hey, I put in work.
Yes, you
did it.
There's
a picture of me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I remember I'm sitting on the curb in an apartment complex because we were dropping lit in cars at 3 o'clock, 2 days before elections. Ooh. So that when you wake up, right, you go to your car, you see your lit, and I'm literally sitting here with a few handful. And one of my team members who was with me that night took a picture of me, right? And I always remember that picture when people are like, it looked like it was easy. Hey.
It's almost like that. You know, once you make it, everybody, all those things, the whole process is just easy.
Oh, yeah.
You just woke up one day and it was like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Oh, my
God. This was 4 or 5. Actually, this was a lifetime in the making, if you really think about it. All the little things that I was a part of, all the yeses that I said, all the opportunities of leadership that I said, it connected. And even this moment right now, as I sit here as an elected official, I truly believe it's God's way of just saying, this is just a stepping stone to whatever it is. I have no idea what that is, but there's something bigger that is in the works But in this very moment, God is telling me, I want you to sit there. I want you to do a good job, and then we'll see where to place you next. So when you find yourself doing something like you're doing right now, do it with quality. Do it with intention. Do it with passion, you know, because you never know who you're reaching out there who would be like, you know what? I want that guy, whatever Chafua Mesa guy, that guy,
yes,
you know, to come here and do this.
Yes.
Because you've laid out the table. Chafua Mesa, you have Chafua'd Mesa.
Yes.
To the point where they can't even ignore you.
Y'all see me?
Well, now, no.
Yeah, come closer. But yes. I was listening to your story. I mean, I followed your story a little bit, and I've seen the struggle you went through before. I mean, of course, the parents are not like they're wealthy early on. The struggle you had to occur, the pain you had to feel to the moment that you made it, and it broke your heart at some times because you felt like you want to give up. Because, I mean, look at the situation you was in at that time. It's like, okay, my God, are you kidding me? There's no tomorrow. This is it.
Yeah.
And you overcame all of that. All of that. Mm-hmm. To even sit right here today, man.
I'm telling you, sometimes I pinch myself. I'm like, I'm here. What?
Yeah, like you keep saying, yeah. A lady from the village.
Yes. My family, like you said, my family didn't come from much. My father, you know, in our culture, when you've lost your father, that's a big hit to you. Because ain't nobody care about who you are.
Very true.
Or what you're about. You know, like your father is the pillar of the family, the community. And so when you lose that, my dad lost his father when he was 5 years old. And so the poverty kicked in big time. And so for me, I didn't come from much. My parents struggled. My parents, even here in the U.S., worked 3 jobs so that they can put food up. I started working at age 18 at a nursing home as a nursing assistant so that I could help and support my family. Right. But what they instilled in me is it allowed me to learn what hard work was and resilience and really pounding the pavement for everything that I had. Even in school, you know, I realized that, you know, I didn't have the luxury of screwing up. Right. Most of us, especially us Kenyans.
Very true.
I mean, not all of us come from money.
Of course.
Most of us are self-made. And when we don't have that luxury of that, quote, I call it old money, we don't have a choice but to excel.
Excel,
and
yes.
And so when I was in college, even graduating with 3 undergrad degrees, while my friends were out there partying, don't get me wrong now, I had a good time in college. But
got to.
For the most part, when my friends were out there partying, I was over here studying. I was taking 19, 20 credits so that I can graduate with 3 degrees because I was like, wait, I could do that? Because I'm paying a whole lot of money and my parents don't have, I'm taking out these loans. Oh, you better believe I'm going to maximize on this. And so that has always been my drive. The fact that we didn't come from much. And being in this country, that's the, when somebody tells you, hey, what's the difference between America and Kenya? I tell them opportunities. Yes. That's it. Everything else, Maza, if you had money, you would be good in Kenya.
Over there. Yep.
Good. Life is good in Kenya. Yes. But the difference between America and Kenya is opportunities.
True.
Here you can come and as nobody and make something of yourself. Very That's true. The beauty of the democracy here in the U.S. And so for me to be sitting here, not only is it God's grace, but it's also hard work and understanding that I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
The only choice I had was to succeed one way or another.
Yeah.
You know, and so I everything that I've tried to do has been from that mentality of I don't come from much. You know, and if I don't come from much and I have this opportunity and I think about how many Kenyans pray to God to have an opportunity to come to this country and how many of us have squandered this opportunity, that's a story for another day.
Yes.
We are here to, yes.
Very, very, very true, man.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you. The stuff you're talking about right now is extremely huge because you're very successful. I look up to you, like I mentioned. And, of course, right now I know I got other people looking up to me. I might not know who you are.
Come on
now. I know
you're
watching me and you're looking
up to me. Let him know.
But it's okay, man. This is it's a tree, as you can see, the way it goes, man. And we hope it's going to keep continuing rolling like that. And that's how we're going to pick out the next generation up. Otherwise, we're going to fumble the bag. Yes. But this is another thing. I know it comes with what you have right now. You know, when you have success, you have people who love you, support you, care about you. But also on the other side, you have the haters. You have people who talk bad about you. You have people calling you names. You have people who make things up about you. You have no idea who they are. You have friends who turn against you and become your enemies. Mm-hmm. How is that experience for you so far?
I mean, that means I'm doing something right. Of course, right? If I'm not robbing somebody the wrong way, then if you're not doing that, then you're not doing it right. But in all seriousness, I didn't get into this to please everybody.
True.
If you get into something to please everybody, you've already failed. For me, I had a vision and I had a dream and I had a passion to serve. And so when I entered into this space, I talked to a few of my friends who are in this space and really got an idea of what to expect, especially being an immigrant, especially being a woman at that, especially being African. Hey, there's this assumption that we don't know anything.
Yes.
You know, our accents. What do you know with your accent?
Yes.
You know? Yeah. But I go back to understanding my worth, understanding that I am capable, understanding that I also belong, right? Like when you know you belong and when you know what's at stake, all of that stuff, all of that hate, all of the negativity, all of that, for me, is just noise. Because at the end of the day, you're not paying my bills.
That's true.
You're not helping my community.
Yeah.
You're over here trashing. If you come talk to me and you're trashing what I'm trying to do,
forget you.
I ain't got time for you.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, I look at you and be like, you're outside. I'm inside. I'm at the table. Yeah. Where are you at? You are looking through the mirror and you have the nerve to come at me?
Where you at?
That's your issue. Where you at? Get your life, right? Get your life. So for me, when I understood that my vision was greater than what somebody thought about me, because sometimes I think that especially as Kenyans, as immigrants, as young people, well, I'm no longer a young person, you know, as young people, we have to fit in. We have to act a certain way. We have to, no. The day I decided that I was enough, that I too had something to offer, that's when I got the true freedom. And when you have that true freedom of up here, your mind, knowing who you are, and the influences from out here, whether that is your friends, whether that is your parents, whether that is haters who don't even know who you are, but make assumptions about who you are from what they see or somebody who's telling them. Once you have that, once you are clear about who you are, all that stuff is just noise. I just brush it off. I'm like, go ahead, talk. But at the same time, I'm still winning. I'm still here. Oh. And I'm still here talking to Lenny on Chafua Mesa. What are you doing? Yeah. So you continue hating and you will never find me hating on another person. What? Why? That time I could be here building. That time I could be here Googling, how do I succeed in the next chapter of my life?
Very true.
Instead of worrying about what somebody else is doing.
Wasting your energy.
Wasting my energy.
And time.
We spend so much time wasting energy on hating on somebody else who is minding their own damn business.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes. Most of the time that happens when someone, they feel defeated with life.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, what's the next move? Let's start hating because they don't have the next option.
Yeah.
They don't have the next move.
I get that, but I'm not your outlet. Good luck.
There we go. I like that. Now, being an elected official, especially in America, of course, this is a side where you deal with the whites.
Yes.
What's the worst thing or worst experience you have experienced so far since you've been elected?
Well, even before getting elected, you know, as Black people in this country, especially as African immigrants, thank you for bringing that up. Let me address this. As Africans, and especially Kenyans, we have a role to play in this country. We didn't come here like our brothers and sisters who are African Americans. We didn't come here and have ties to the slavery in that period.
That's true.
Let's get that right. So this group of people fought racism, fought slavery, fought Jim Crow laws. Know your history. As an African Kenyan, know your history.
Know the history of
this country.
Yes.
And how we got to a point where we can come here and claim anything. Let's be honest. Because we sit here sometimes as Africans, we take pride. Oh, look at us. We are doing better than so and so. Do you know why you're doing better than these people?
It's because of them.
It's because of them.
Yeah.
So let's, first of all, let's give Respect where respect is due.
Yes.
And what they did. Because back in the day, before we moved here, what were we being told about African Americans?
Oh,
they are this, they are thug, they are all of that,
exactly.
Right?
Let's just, yeah, let's keep it PG.
We're gonna leave it at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, all of that.
Wow.
But then that's us not understanding the magnitude of what they had to go through so that we can be accorded, foreigners, we can be accorded the same rights as everybody else here. So for us, we have to understand our role in this social and racial fight in this country. So when we see our people out there protesting, we also need to join in and be like, we're here. We're not just taking. We also need to participate.
Yes.
So going back to your question, I just wanted to lay the groundwork for that. You are a black man in America. Even before somebody identifies you as, quote, Kenyan, or you might be different from them, you are a black man here. And I can't even... You can, maybe that's one of these days, you can have a conversation about what that is.
Yes.
So our people back home knows.
Yeah.
What you as a black man in America go through,
yeah.
Right? As a black woman and an African at that, hey, even during campaign, you door knock somebody's door and they ask you, what are you doing on my property? Leave my property. When I, as a candidate, have the right to be at their property. You know? Where you are door knocking at a very affluent neighborhood and they call the police on you because they can't possibly fathom that you are actually running for office to represent them.
Doesn't make any sense.
You know?
Yeah.
And so racism in this country is still rooted, deeply rooted in all of institutional setup systems in this country. And I've worked in corporate America for a very long time before I even jumped into politics. And right now, I do a lot of data privacy, data governance for Boston Scientific. That's a side note. And I have been exposed or I have gone through things where I'm sitting here going, if it wasn't the color of my skin,
it'll be
that
good.
Stuff wouldn't happen to me.
Yeah.
Right? And so yeah. It's the same thing as politics. But politics is very vocalized. They tell you straight up, I don't like you because of the color of your skin. Do we sit here and just say, oh, well, I can't, I'm going to give up? No.
No.
You know, and now that I'm elected, now in it, I mean, I can show you messages where my campaign was getting threats and you monkey, go back to Africa. All of the things that you yourself have heard too. It was there. Again, that's just noise to me because you have no idea who I am.
Man.
You have no idea the power that I'm packing. You have no idea that you asking me for my credentials. You haven't even graduated from high school.
Exactly.
I have 3 undergraduate degrees, I have masters. I am doing this, I'm doing that. I'm managing a portfolio worth millions. And what you got? And you dare ask me for my qualifications. You know? So and then you get into leadership. And now I'm governing. Because there's a difference between being a candidate, because you're sitting here selling your manifesto. That's what they call it in Kenya, right? But once you now transition into leadership, it's a whole different ballgame. I am sitting here with old white men who have this mindset of who you are from their lived experiences.
Yeah.
And now you're coming disrupting their way of life. Hey. So when I say that I like my peaceful life because a lot of times people don't realize when you're in this space, we're going to keep it PG-13, all the stuff that you have to go through on a daily basis where you're judged by the skin color, mm-hmm. Where your calling is asking you a very stupid question because they can't possibly fathom that you could actually even know what they're talking about when you actually know even more than them, wow. You know?
Yes.
But you know what, though? Again, we are built different. We are built to know, hey, you haven't walked in my shoe. This is nothing. You are nothing to me. As long as you do not cross certain lines, you continue doing you and I'm going to continue doing me. I'm going to continue thriving whether you like it or not. Some way, if you don't open that door, I'll find another way of opening that door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't open the door, we're going to use the window.
Exactly. If you don't use the window, we'll crack at that wall and bust it wide open.
We're going to get in.
Yeah. So, yes, I experience it every day. And it's unfortunately, with the current administration, it has made it very easy for people to be prejudiced and racist
publicly.
All human dignity and compassion, empathy out the window.
Yes, it's out of here. Mm-hmm. Things are super crazy right now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. But let me mention something you mentioned earlier today on the event, which actually touched me because it's something I experienced growing up over in America. It's the accent thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Being from Africa, having an accent. And, you know, when you first arrive in America, maybe you might know. Now you know because, of course, we have all this social media. But back then, you didn't know, or at least you didn't understand the accent magnitude. Mm-hmm. Of course, we used to watch TV and we used to make fun of how they're calling names of characters on TV. Mm-hmm. It's like, Tony.
Tony.
I was like, Peter. That's Peter. Yeah, so we used to make fun of that. But yeah. We didn't understand the exact until when we got here. Mm-hmm. And when you spoke and people kept going like, huh? What is he saying? That's when he hit you like, Jesus Christ, am I not speaking English?
Mm-hmm. Right. I thought I was speaking English.
Yeah, and that, this is the same English.
Yeah, did you ever get, pardon me. I grew up and I was like, I thought I just spoke English. What is that? They're still asking me, pardon me. Now I'm confused. Why are they pardoning? I'm speaking English.
Exactly. Speaking English. They go, excuse me.
Excuse me?
Say it again. It's like,
come on now.
Yo, come on. What am I saying right now?
We're speaking English. Yeah, this is very clear British English.
Very clear. Like, what are you talking about? I can't understand. You can understand me? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But we had to go through the process and it make you feel inferior.
Yes.
Because it's like, you've been left out. Mm-hmm. You don't fit in. Mm-hmm. People are looking at you funny. Mm-hmm. Anytime you say something, they go like, we don't know about this guy, man. Where are you from again?
Right.
Africa?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That country?
Yeah. Do you guys have clothes? Because
mm-hmm.
I know you live on trees.
Of course. We also sleep with lions and tigers and everything else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was imagining you... Yeah. Being elected or even trying to be elected mm-hmm. with all that experience in your mind, what would you think? Like, oh, they probably won't accept me because of that luggage behind you? Mm. Or you was like at this stage, your confidence was pretty high. Like,
oh, absolutely not. I would care. I was not going into it to be accepted by nobody. Let me say that again. I was not going into this space to be expected nobody. I'm enough. With my accent and all, and I'm very proud of it. And when I get so passionate, my accent even gets worse, which is great. That means I'm making a point. So absolutely not. I didn't go into this to be accepted by anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah. I was going in there to be my authentic self, to bring myself into that space because we were missing in there. Uh-huh. And they need to know that we exist. And you can't go in there trying to be accepted by anybody because then you're also accepting their perception of who you are, you know?
Yes.
Then you're accepting what they think your community is or want. So if you go into this space thinking, oh, I need to be accepted, you're in the wrong field.
You lose already.
Go down very quickly because there's so many voices out here that will basically influence who you are. In the negative, in the positive, it's up to you. Me, I've resulted to, I have a mission. This is what I want to do for my constituency, whether that is, you know, policies that really focus on our African community or policies that impact the whole entire, I don't care whether you're white, brown, Asian, whatever, that impact us as a community. But I focus on African immigrants because we've been left out into this conversation for so long.
For so long, yeah.
Not saying the rest of my constituency don't matter. And this is one of those things where those people who don't understand when this movement of Black Lives Matter, when somebody says, what do you mean? All lives matter. No. A good friend of mine gave me this analogy. We live in a very fancy neighborhood with houses.
Yeah.
And my house catches on fire. And I'm calling my neighbors, telling them, hey, come help me. My house is on fire. My house matters right now because it's on fire.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The rest of your houses do matter, yeah. But at this very moment, my house is on fire.
Yes.
That's the same thing with the Black Lives Matter movement. That's the same thing with me. Right now, the African immigrant population needs to be at the table. They matter because we contribute millions and millions of dollars as a tax base. We have a cultural, vibrant, culture diverse contribution, rich contribution to the state. That we get exploited. Oh, come, let's hear about, you have authentic restaurants, but yet we don't have resources to expand, to sustain our businesses, to create spaces, to continue learning about our culture, but yet they want to eat from our culture. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So yes, it matters right now. Not saying the rest of my constituents doesn't matter. They do matter.
Yeah.
You know, when I do big bills like, oh, I want to expand our community center. That's catering to the whole entire.
Of
course. Oh, yes. Let's do loans for our businesses. That's everybody's business. But you better believe that loan is going to accommodate the needs of the African population because they're different. Most of us are running our businesses from where? In our basements. We don't have a brick and mortar where you can come in and you know, have employees and have all these things that, quote, you need. So that's when we talk about representation, that's what that is. Bringing the needs of the people to the table so that they can be represented. That's one of the main reasons why I got into this space. So I don't care whether you like me or not. I'm here.
I like that.
And I'm not going anywhere.
Man. Hey, power to the people, man.
Power to you.
Mm-hmm. Power to you. Mm-hmm. This is a big one. This is a big one. Just like Trump like to say, this is a big one. How do you feel about Kenya right now with all that's going on with the politics, the Gen Zs, with the Ruto Must Go movement? How do you feel about that?
I think that Kenya is at a pivotal moment. And when I say that, I mean that there's a whole new generation of young people who don't think like the gatekeepers, right? Who don't want to have an agenda or a status quo anymore. Who all they want is to graduate and have a job. I have a bunch of my cousins who graduated. Some of them went to India, came back to Kenya. They can't even find a job for nothing. But yet we have an administration who is literally sending brain power outside of the country. Come on now.
What the hell?
Especially with how smart Kenya is, the resources that Kenya is. I mean, we created the first mobile banking, mobile M-Pesa.
Let me tell you.
So we have a very smart populace. We have industries that are doing very well. And then on top of that, we have the backing of the diaspora remittance, in a sense. My friend, help me with that word.
No, you got it already. The accent is cool. It's not a big deal.
Remittances, you know, the where we send a whole lot of money back home, right? We have that backing there from the diaspora. So when I look at this point in time, I see an opportunity for Kenya to rise above. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, travesties that have happened, especially with our young people. And I have to give them credit. Like, no group of young, and that's how you know we're special. Kenya is very unique. My friend, at young people get up on the street and they force a whole president, an African president, mind you,
exactly,
to change his mind.
Yeah.
The finance bill.
Yes.
They shut that stuff down.
Yeah.
Those were Gen Zs.
Yes.
You know, now I just hope you Gen Zs out there in Kenya have that same energy in 2027. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, who to support, but bring that energy and vote to the last men and women of somebody that you truly believe has your heart in mind. Whoever that is, I can't get into politics like that.
Which, of course, I know how that go. Which is good. I have so much hope on the Gen Zs, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I have so much hope on the Gen Zs. And if they let me down, oh my God, I think we're down as a country moving forward. Because I don't think what's
going to
happen.
2027 is going to be a defining moment for Kenya, I personally think.
This is going to be extremely huge, mind-boggling. I don't know, man. We're going to see what happens. But I'm hoping, I'm praying so hard, it's going to be great news for us as a nation.
We'll see.
As a nation. Because we see the biggest thing they do right now is the dividing of the tribalism and all this nonsense.
And that's the beauty of the Gen Zs. They ain't got time for that. They ain't got time for tribalism.
Yeah.
They over here like, look, we just need a job.
Yes.
We just need a place to lay our head down. We just need to be able to have good health care. We just need, for those of the Gen Zs who are having kids, we just need good schools for... We just need the basics. That's all they're asking.
Yes.
Honestly.
And I agree. And I agree to that, man.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Oh, my God, man. I can't wait to come to Minnesota, man. I mean, the last time I was in Minnesota is probably 2020. Actually, right before COVID. 2020.
Right before COVID, man.
You know, the only time I go to Minnesota is like right now during summertime. After summertime, you can't see me because it's too cold. It's snowy.
It is.
There's too many Kenyans out there as well. You know what I'm saying? It's too many Kenyans out there as well, so yes. I don't know. But since you got this going on, and I told you I'm looking up to you, I have to come through.
Please stop
by. I would love for you to show us. I mean, do you understand being shown around the city with a whole an elected official?
Come on,
you know how
I will give you a VIP tour.
That's what I need,
man. State of Minnesota.
Just to feel the same way you felt when you got to Kenya. You got all that people, man. I mean, I'm trying to make Americans get out the way, too. Like, yo, move, man. Come on, man.
This is great. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, so I definitely want to come visit Minnesota pretty soon. Please, I don't know when, man. But
let me know. You know how to get a hold of me.
Of course. Yeah. I will look for you. But all in all, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. This has been wonderful. Oh my God, it's been like an hour, 10 minutes.
We were talking 20 minutes. Yes. Now here we are.
I can't go more than that, to be honest with you, because I got so much to ask you.
Yes.
Like, you got so much information to share with us, because you out there. I'm saying,
you're
setting the bar, know what I mean? There's no way we can talk for 10 minutes and you got the bar right here. Are you kidding me? What about the next guy? What am I going to
Good luck to the next guy. If you are next, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, thank
you so much. This to me is mind-blowing. Like, I'm so excited. Like, I feel like I have to work harder too. You know what I mean? If you can do it, I know I can do it.
You're
and you can do it too back at home. You know what I mean? All of us can do it. All you have to do, put your effort in. Stop being lazy. Get up and do something. I know you can do it. Something in you. All you have to do, just find it. What is it?
Yes.
You can find it. Any last words you want to share with us before we wind
Absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. First of all, Lenny, and your whole entire team at Chafua Mesa, thank you for the opportunity. I know that this is a long time coming. And, you know, God's timing is the perfect timing.
Yes.
Like, who would have ever thought that I would end up here? And unfortunately, or fortunately, I get so many messages, but I appreciate your consistency. That's why I had to honor this, even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, because of who you are as a person, because of, you know, this platform that you have created to reach out to the young people. And so thank you for that. So everybody out there, please subscribe. Chafua Mesa, all of their platforms. And to everybody out there, like my brother said, you know, don't be lazy. Put in the work. Believe in yourself. Before somebody believes in you, you have to believe in yourself first. And know that you are the change that this world needs and you're needed. And don't look at somebody and start comparing yourself. Oh, look at that person. I want to be there. Don't be like our parents where they're like, do you know that daughter of so-and-so? You can be like that. No. Stick to your lane. Stick to your passion. And it will lead you where you need to go. You know, and if it's down this political space, then welcome. Join the team. I need more of us in this space, especially these young people, to bring some fresh energy into this. But all in all, I appreciate you. Thank you, Chafua Mesa team. Y'all have been amazing. I've had a great time. I'm exhausted, but this was so worth it. I've had the honor to really sit here and have this conversation with you. So thank you.
Oh, yes. Oh, for sure. You're welcome. And thank you so much for stopping by. I know it's mad late. I know you're super tired. You just landed today and you're on my podcast. You blessed us. You had a great time, great energy, great stories. What else can I say, man? We're here. You doing it. I can do it. My boy over here, he can do it. All of us can do it. Kenyan stand out. We're taking over America.
Let's go.
Anyway, all in all, thank you for watching. It's been a dope episode. I hope you've learned a lot. And if not, rewind the whole thing. Start from the beginning, listen carefully, rewind again, listen again, take action, do what you're supposed to do, and get my merch too. You see my t-shirt, my boy? It's my merch right here.
Get it right there.
Yeah, you gotta get my merch. Chafua Mesa Podcast. T-shirt is online. Get on my Gmail, chafomeza072@gmail.com. Get on it, order your T-shirt, and let's get it. All in all, thank you so much. It's been dope. Until the next one, we out. Chafomeza, Chafomeza. Tuko Nairobi, tuna Chafomeza. Chafomeza, Chafomeza. Tuko in the city, Chafomeza. Don Kings in the building. Don Kings in the building. Chafomeza, Chafomeza. Tuko Nairobi, tuna Chafomeza. Chafomeza, Chafomeza. Tuko in the city, Chafomeza. Don Kings in the building. Don Kings in the building. Straight from the flight to the club, we go. Hold on, I'm lying. Straight from the flight.